This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn, Sharitz and Shanning. Now, this morning, we are running a poll on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio. Because the UN Special Rapporteur for Extreme Poverty, Philip Alston, he said that Malaysia's poverty rate is understated. So on that note, do tell us what you think. For the Klang Valley, is 980 ringgit an appropriate threshold for poverty? Your options are yes, no, between 1,000 ringgit to 1,499, no, between 1,500 to 1,999 and between 2,000 to 2,500. Do let us know what you think because we'll be taking a look at the results of that poll throughout the morning. Aside from that, though, in some other local headlines, recent news on the financial woes of big media names Bernama and Utusan have put the spotlight on the state of the industry. Utusan, for one, has raised the price of its newspapers to stem their losses and will receive a 1.6 million ringgit shot in the arm from UMNO.
Meanwhile, Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng has ordered an investigation into Bernama's finances. Last week, Jabar Sadiq, the founder of Malaysia Insight, told us in an interview he was pessimistic about the future of print, and he also said that the path to profitability for digital media is difficult.
That said, the financial issues and stress don't happen just overnight, particularly for Bernama and also politically linked media Utusan. Bear in mind that the liabilities of Utusan already hit 260 million as at June this year. Now, getting to 260 million didn't happen like in a day, right? It would have meant many, many years of accumulated losses. So it just suggests that there has been financial mismanagement at Utusan. Nobody was really looking at the profit or managing the cash flow and then also worrying about the continued drop in circulation numbers.
Correct.
So Utusan is now a PN17 company, and they've been in the red for something like 7 years at this point. But nonetheless, for a deeper dive into media and politics, this morning we speak to Gayathri Venkateswaran, Assistant Professor of Media and Communications with the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. She specialises in political communication. Thank you for joining us, Gayathri. So in your op-ed that you wrote in Malaysia Kini, you described Utusan and Bernama as being at the convergence of two evils, so political control and an excessively powerful management system. So for the first, do you think that politically slanted journalism will still have its following now that we are in a new Malaysia?
Good morning, everyone. I think that unfortunately we will see the continued interest and the continued provision of politically slanted news. I don't think that the financial crisis that has hit the media in Malaysia will necessarily sort of like cause this transformation. I think that politically biased news has quite a high incentive given the kind of polarized politics also that we have. I think that as long as we don't see reforms in some other sectors, and particularly in terms of political representation, I think that we won't see a reduction in this kind of political ease, you know, because of the ownership and the kind of content that we will have. So I think to separate it from the sort of wider political dynamics will be quite difficult. So unless we see changes in the broader issues of representation, where we see still ethnic identities becoming or being used as a key political tool. So without that changes, then there's still unfortunately going to be quite a lot of politically slanted content.
So Gayathri, does that mean that we should perhaps consider laws being introduced to limit political ownership of media companies?
I am in favour of some kind of control, but I have some issues in terms of either banning or setting a kind of a figure, you know, where we talked about actually last year as well, saying that, okay, it can't be more than a certain percentage or completely eradicating political ownership. Because in a very fundamental aspect, it's actually a violation of rights. I think that anyone who has the resources, the means, should be able to own the media. But I think what the question is that we should be asking is actually the interference in editorial decisions. And this comes not only from the political control, but also from the corporate control. So you also have business interests that influence editorial decisions. So I think that what we really need to see are more clear guarantees and enforceable guarantees in terms of non-interference in journalism, so in editorial decision making. So I think that we need to shift a little bit the discussion from saying let's ban all kinds of political ownership Two, what can we do to make sure that journalists and editors are actually not penalized for decisions that they make in the newsroom based on what they think is sort of sound or good editorial decisions? So I think that interference is what we need to codify in some way.
Do you have some examples of countries that have successfully limited political involvement in media then?
I think if we look at it globally, again, if I go back to my first point about how we need to see it as part of a larger ecosystem, we see it as a mix. I think that there we can take examples from countries that have laws that actually say that it is unacceptable to have the state and corporate basically owner interference in editorial decision making. So that is actually in some laws, either in media law or also in constitution. So in a way that says that, look, no matter who owns the media, you make a separation between the ownership and you and the content that you put out, and you are somehow defended also from the for the decisions that you make. On the other hand, you also have laws that actually prioritize competition. So to make sure that you have no monopoly, that you don't have one owner controlling all newspapers, online broadcasts, to make sure that you have diversity in content. You also have laws that are in the election laws that say, look, you have to or you are mandated to make sure that you provide information, especially in the context of elections, equally and fairly to all candidates, all political parties. So, and the last one I would say, and these are also in some other countries, to actually say that journalism has a public interest function. And we don't have that in our legal framework. I think if we recognize that it has a public interest function, it allows for some kind of protection also for journalists and editors. So I think we need to look at it as a combination of areas that we want to protect rather than saying Group A, Group B cannot actually own the media. I think that, in fact, is quite counterproductive.
And speaking of those areas that we need to address in order to boost journalism, journalist protection, Gayathri, you also wrote that unfair corporate practices are partly to blame for the plight of Utusan employees. So specifically, what are those practices and how common are they actually in the media industry?
So if we start back from this idea of the interference, I think that a couple of areas. Number one, if you take a different decision, if you are someone who is independent in the newsroom, the company can actually work against you. They penalize you. You know, I think everyone in the media knows about, you know, cold storage, the term cold storage, which basically means that if you have violated the sort of the stand of the media, then, you know, you get penalized for it. We've heard that from journalists who have left, editors who have left from Utusan. We've also seen how, despite actually quite high risk that journalists are placed because of the work that they do, they are not actually adequately compensated. There's no enough protection for journalists on the ground. I mentioned when covering difficult situations, they don't have enough backing from the organization. But I think at a broader level, and not just for Utusan, I think that we are seeing, or we have seen in the last few years, moving away from the kind of protection to very open contracts, not fulfilling the kind of statutory requirements. And so you have a lot of people working in the media industry, particularly in broadcasting, that do not have enough safety nets. So this is where the corporate top-heavy, profit-centered, that are not actually providing enough safety nets for their staff.
Thank you so much, Gayathri. And that was Gayathri Venkateswaran, Assistant Professor of Media and Communications at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. And I think she's made an interesting point, which is that we have to reframe this conversation. Rather than talking about banning political involvement in the media, what we need to do is we need to ramp up protection of journalists. And that's something that Malaysia has. So we have gotten better in terms of media freedoms, particularly since GE14. You know, if you go by the World Press Freedom Index, we have jumped several places. But overall, we still do have things like, we have the Sedition Act, we have the Printing Presses and Publications Act, we have these draconian laws that can be used to exert influence over what should be a free media environment. And that's still something that we lack here in Malaysia.
Yeah, and another thing that would protect the workers is also the economics or the business side of things of all the media companies. I mean, we see a lot of other industries, for example, music and you know, cinema, movies and so forth. They've undergone a lot of transformation. We hear streaming and so forth. So the question is, where is media going? Have they gone beyond? I mean, is it just going online enough? I mean, so because they cannot continue to rely funding from political as well as corporate.
But there lies in the problem, because how do you monetize new media? We know old media is dying, right? Circulation is down. People are not reading traditional newspapers. People are going online. But even the new media models, they haven't necessarily really been profitable for everybody. So how then do you pay your staff? There's always this dilemma, right?
Mm-hmm.
As there's this switch between old to new.
Basically, the media industry is in flux right now, but hopefully it does eventually find its feet. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.